It's poverty.
It's crime.
Unemployment.
Corruption.
Accountability.
The energy crisis.
Inflation.
We are worried.
That South Africa has myriad problems on all fronts is a given. But the time has come for us to look for real solutions. I'm Jeremy Maggs, and this MoneyWeb podcast will discuss those solutions on how South Africans can solve problems by having tough conversations and drawing on the insights of South Africa's top business leaders. Welcome to Fix SA. Hello and welcome to another episode of Fix SA here on MoneyWeb. These are conversations committed to finding real solutions and approaches to the complex and multifaceted issues facing South Africa. I'm Jeremy Maggs, and today Dr. Leila Fourie, currently the Group Chief Executive Officer of the Johannesburg Stock Exchange. Her business career spans more than 30 years working in consulting, investment banking, retail banking and capital markets. She also holds a PhD in economic and financial sciences. Leila, welcome to you. I know that we've been trying to set this conversation up for a long time, so I'm glad we finally managed to snare you, so to speak. Let me ask you this, first of all. Are you more optimistic, more bullish about South Africa and its economy than perhaps you were 12 months ago?
Hi, Jeremy. It's great to finally chat. And yes, I certainly am a lot more positive. I think the outcomes of the Government of National Unity have convinced the international public in a much more positive way than perhaps previously. I think the outcomes have been a lot more business-friendly, and internationals have responded accordingly, and we're starting to see flows back on the exchange. We're starting to see investors sit up and take notice of South Africa.
The challenge, of course, is to capitalize on and build on that sustainable trend, and that, Leila Fourie, I'm going to suggest to you, is going to be a whole lot more difficult.
Absolutely. I think ultimately we are not out of the woods. We need to start to see results. I think the Government of National Unity is still very much in a developmental stage. It was only established in June of this year. So it's a bit too early to make any judgments, but there is positive sentiment that we're seeing generated through, for example, appointment of certain ministers. Visible steps have already, started, we're starting to see visible steps being taken. And those are largely around some of the long-standing challenges that we've seen impeding growth. So I think there is an improved political and economic outlook, and it is beneficial and positive for our capital markets environment.
Having said that, though, where do you think the fissures or the risks now remain?
I think the risks that we faced previously still remain. The real issues that we're grappling with is low growth, high unemployment, a electricity sector that needs a lot more attention, although we have made substantial strides in that space. And then our logistics sector is also in need of quite material transformation. So I think the risks in our environment lie in a vulnerable coalition. This is the first coalition that we've seen, certainly in the last 50 years at least. And the ability of all of these ministers to focus on delivery, I think we're starting to see green shoots and the possibility of implementation, but it's really still too early to say. I think single sort of indications by, for example, Leon Schreiber addressing and targeting the backlog in visas, Parks Tau, the DTIC minister, being quite proactive in his engagement with business to start improving the competitiveness of South African goods in the global markets are all important steps that position us well, but we still do have these fissures that I mentioned right at the beginning that really need to be addressed.
Leila, you'll agree with me that in the past and in the not too distant past, the relationship often between private sector and government has been strained. What new thinking needs to be implemented? What role should the private sector now be playing in further supporting government efforts to reduce unemployment and stimulate economic growth, with the caveat that they have every right to be critical and to raise red flags when they see them?
Jeremy, look, I think that the pandemic set a foundation of improving and starting to encourage a more trusted and constructive relationship between public and private sector. I think where we are right now is that there are fiscal challenges. There are challenges in executing on certain of the policy objectives. And private sector have come forward with a willingness to contribute towards some of those initiatives. So I think the work that we're doing on the CEO initiative under Adrian Gore's leadership, where we're focusing on electricity or power security initiatives, secondly, the sort of logistics transnet environment, and then, of course, the security pillar, are making great strides. And I, in this 30 odd years I've been in industry, have not seen the health of the relationship between public and private sector better than it is now. We too, in the capital market space, are starting to look at what we can do to engage more constructively with government and with the public sector generally. And I think we're starting to see a lot more promising interaction. Of course, you know, it's early days, and we need to really start to see some genuine quick wins put on the board. But I certainly sense quite a shift in the sentiment between public and private sector.
Leila, you raised three very important points. One is what will constitute wins. We can get to that in just a moment. I'm curious to know what role the capital markets can play. But beyond the pandemic, and this is the first issue that you raised about the change in the relationship paradigm, what do you think has moved the needle in terms of that relationship that has improved? It was more than the pandemic. Was it what drew the parties together? Are you able to put your finger on that?
Look, I think initially it was the sort of unifying implications of the, you know, of this common enemy of the pandemic. And then post that, government, I do think that the fiscal constraints have led to an openness to solutions that are creative and not always centrally driven. So I have a sense that there is a much more consolidated political power within the ruling party and a more constructive approach to government, so to private sector. I also think that the coalition has brought together, if you pardon the pun, a coalition of the willing, where many of the new parties that are forming part of the coalition have a very business focus, let's get things done, delivery mentality. And these sorts of things do tend to compound and snowball and create a sort of infectious energy. A couple of people have said to me, it feels like the 2010 World Cup in many ways, that there's just a flicker of hope, and there's a sense that, as South Africa is known to have done in the past, that we're able to muddle out of this malaise and the low growth and the load shedding and all of those factors that tend to create a lot of dissent and negativity. And I think for the first time, both the outside world, international investors, as well as our local business people and our consumers, are starting to display a much higher level of confidence.
I like the analogy of the 2010 World Cup, but you'll also concede, Leila, that the euphoria of the 2010 World Cup faded very, very quickly because people had high expectations and there was little follow through. The challenge, and we've already alluded to this, is to make sure that the hard work continues. Now is not the time to give up.
Absolutely. You know, I think we've had two points of inflection in our recent history, the 2010 World Cup and then also the Ramaphosa. And a cynic would ask, why is time different? I do think that there is a possibility that if the government of national unity are able to indeed deliver as they've promised, that this will create a much more sustainable and longer tail of delivery. I think if you look at the plans in place and the already demonstrated execution of policy that was previously conceived before the national elections, there is a promising sign. So, for example, the ERA bill that was signed in by the president recently, and the breaking up of Eskom into three divisions and creation of the transmission organization. These are very tangible and very specific outcomes which people are feeling in their homes every day, not having load shedding. So I think that there has been tangible progress in a couple of discrete areas, electricity being the most visible and the most recent. And I think we need to start to just build on that success. And the moment South African consumer and business confidence starts to pick up, we do start to see this sort of compounding into a layering of growth.
Leila, with an acknowledgement, of course, that the very tired old clock that is South Africa is also ticking very loudly, and unless we start to accelerate all the positives that you've outlined, we are simply going to be treading water. And if we do that, there's the issue of more anger, particularly among the more marginalized in this country.
Absolutely. There's no question that the clock is ticking, and there is a need for demonstrated delivery. I think we've perhaps dodged a bullet in the outcome of the Government of National Unity and in the immediate delivery of and the sustained delivery of the electricity or power security. I think many citizens were expecting that the load shedding would really collapse, the electricity supply would collapse after the elections, and that the holdback on load shedding was really an electioneering tool. And those people have been proven wrong. So I think these sorts of things start to build confidence and start to sow the seeds for green shoots.
Leila, you spoke about the capital markets becoming a little bit more proactive. What did you mean by that?
Well, Jeremy, what we're seeing is that our markets have really responded incredibly well. We've seen record inflows directly after the announcement of the general election in our equity market. We've seen a much lower level of outflow over the last 3 months in the equity market. We are still net negative, but much less so over the last 3 months. We had a very negative month in May, which has brought the overall year-to-date figure down. But if we exclude that and just look at the last 3 months, order of magnitude improvement. We've also seen the South African stocks as a whole have outperformed the emerging markets index, the MSCI Emerging Market Index, by about 9% since the Government of National Unity was created. Now, we were only at about less than 1.5% growth year to date when we hit the election. So real material improvement, and our bond yields have also been very strong. So about a 13% improvement in the key benchmarks, for example, the R186, really increased very well. If we look at where the All Share is at year to date, we are now up 5.8%, and other emerging markets in the index are only up by 3.8%. And bearing in mind that, you know, if you look at this in a sort of pre-election and post-election tale of two cities, the All Share was up by 1.3% between January and May. And then between June and the end of August, we were up 9.2%. So a really big shift and a massive growth trajectory. And we're starting to see sentiment improving. International investors are moving from what was a anemic and underweight positioning on South Africa. South Africa is starting to screen well. And the investors are starting to take notice. Let's also remember that internationally, there is a bit of a risk-off appetite in emerging market investors towards China. And those flows have to go somewhere. Now, a large part of them are going to India, Saudi Arabia, some of it to Brazil and Mexico. But there is an opportunity for South Africa to start to attract some of those emerging market flows.
And test my thinking here, but the impact of that positive momentum, certainly for local companies, means that it unlocks capital. There's more expenditure, and that has a domino effect in terms of stimulating the economy. And right down the value chain will create jobs, which will lead to a better solution in terms of fixing the country.
Absolutely. I couldn't put it more succinctly. So a healthier economy creates a healthier demand for capital, a growth in job creation, and that then sort of lines the pockets of the man in the street, which has a circular effect. So there's no question that sentiment plays a big role, that capital flows from international investors play a very important role, and we've seen a congenitally negative position in the equity market, bond market, not as severely negatively affected by market outflows over the past couple of years. But in the equity market, share prices were very materially undervalued relative to their NAV or to their forward price earnings ratio. And so I think not only are there share prices and therefore their access to capital constrained, but on the flip side, we are on the cheap sheets compared to both developing and developed world markets, to the extent that international investors start to see opportunity in South Africa. The investors who are calling the bottom are really in a very economically strong position by investing in South African stocks because we're so undervalued.
Leila, I want to pull the focus back slightly as we are starting to come to the end of this conversation from the pure economy and from the Johannesburg Stock Exchange to perhaps more broadly society itself. And is it your sense, and I know you engage long and hard and far and wide, do you think there is a willing majority of people in South Africa now who really want to fix things? Or are you concerned about division, societal, philosophical and political, that still exists and perhaps is even widening?
Jeremy, if you'd asked me this question a year ago, I think we were in a tricky position. However, since the hope that's been created by the government of national unity, and I think that's predicated on a couple of things. Firstly, the extreme maturity that the ANC showed in accepting the outcome of the general elections. And that really goes to the underpin of a functioning democracy and of the fact that the ANC were supportive of the people having spoken. I think that speaks volumes to the credibility and the level of trust between public and private sector, which, let's face it, was fragmenting and in a very difficult position a year ago. If we look at the way in which the government of national unity has been formed, many people were extremely concerned just after the elections around how could this all work? How are we going to have all these parties working together? It's going to be fragmented. It's going to create an unstable coalition. None of that has transpired. Instead, we've actually got a very well-functioning coalition with a number of diverse participants who are well-skilled. So my sense on the ground, both around the dinner table and around the board table, is that the overall narrative and the sentiment has improved. I'd say people are optimistic but cautiously optimistic. I don't think we have the same... people are not in the doldrums as they may have been a year ago. And I think if we can demonstrate a couple of visible quick wins in policy and government delivery, I think that will create opportunity for building on success. So I think we're in a much better space in our narrative, level of happiness, level of contentment. And I think the discontent is really receding. And I'm hopeful. However, we can't be naive. Government must deliver, and failure to do so will put us back. So I am in a much, much more bullish and more optimistic space.
So let me conclude the conversation and ask you this. You said a little earlier on that we are starting to see some wins as far as fixing the country is concerned. There is, of course, that old cliche, Leila, that you can't manage something if you can't measure it. So in the short to medium term, how would you define those wins and the success that will put us on the road to the fix?
I think the first and very obvious success is the stability in the government of national unity. I think we're starting to see a degree of functioning. I think the immediate focus areas need to be in logistics, and a credible plan has a large part of that plan has been created, but I think more needs to be done to execute. I think the fiscal consolidation needs to continue, and there has been a fair amount of work done there, but more needs to be done. Electricity, the finalization of the transmission organization, the execution by government on setting up those organizations, and then the sound functioning of those organizations are critical. I also think that the water crisis and the work that's been done in Parliament over the last sort of month in that space is a promising sign, but we have to resolve the looming water crisis that we're seeing. And then I think the more pragmatic things that need to be delivered on is there has been a lot done in the visa section for skilled workers, but there's still a backlog. And that needs to be improved. And I think lastly, a lot more needs to be done to encourage and stimulate SME investment. So the red tape that SMEs are facing, the access to capital, the tax regime, all of these things contribute to a growing functioning society where people have dignity because they're able to either create work for themselves or find work in a corporate environment. And so I think the real outcomes that will signal success will be doubling our growth rate, and we're coming off a low base, so it's not impossible, and dramatically improving our unemployment rate. And I think if we just get those two indicators heading in the right direction, as I said earlier, success breeds success, and we will start to see those growth nodes evolving.
And this has been a very, very interesting conversation. Dr. Leila Faree, Group Chief Executive, Johannesburg Stock Exchange, thank you very much for joining me right here on MoneyWeb.
Thanks for listening to this Fix SA podcast. For more episodes posted every second Friday, go to moneyweb.co.za, the MoneyWeb app, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify, or follow MoneyWeb News on social media for more updates. MoneyWeb, your trusted source for business and investment insights.